بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. We began discussing the beautiful name of Allah جل جلاله الحفيظ. الحفيظ with a ha, or we call a big ha. And with Allah, الحفيظ. Very importantly also, when it comes to our salah, you pronounce the letters correctly. When you go into ruku, سبحان ربي العظيم. So that Allah, that سبحان ربي العظيم, is the عين and Allah. So we should correct our pronunciation also when it comes to Quran. This is wajib that we learn Quran correctly, pronounce Quran correctly. And the names of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also, we'll make an effort to pronounce them correctly. As we mentioned a few majalis ago, get at least our Yasin Sharif correct. Please protect our Yasin in a form, in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to read it. And the hadith we quoted many a time, احفظ الله يحفظك. Protect the commands of Allah, awamirahu, nawahiyahu, wa hududahu. Protect the borders, the limits of sharia, the commands of Allah, prohibitions of Allah. And يحفظك, Allah says, promise I will protect you. I will definitely protect you. But we can start protecting only the salah we protect. On the correct times. This is very, very important. That our salah has to be on the correct time. We protect our salah how Allah wants us to protect it. Everything else we have protected. Our cars, we've got the best alarm systems. Our homes, the businesses, armed response. Here, when it comes to the sharia of Allah, when it comes to the commands of Allah, when it comes to salah especially, we are the armed response. We already hired it. But we're not going to give the service, we're not going to get the payment. As simple as that. You're not going to pay the rent, Allah will not pay your rent. And when you're going to collect the rent, then the person says next month, next month. So Allah says also what I'm supposed to give you next month. You didn't come in time, the following month. What I'm supposed to get now in 6 months, defer to 12 months. What I'm supposed to get in 1 year, now will go to 2 years, then to 5 years, then to 10 years. And I can't get out of the banks, I can't get out of the credit card, because your salah is not there. The basic is salah, to protect salah. So to get our salah correct and our Quran tilawat correct, at least our surah to Yasin. This I'm emphasizing over and over again. Many a times we think that I'm reading my Yasin Sharif correct. But go and see the amount of mistakes I'm making. Go to an Qari sahab, an Hafiz sahab, and see the amount of mistakes I am making. Here Hazrat says, Mawlana Barul Haq sahab, rahmatullah alayh, who was the Sheikh of our Dada Sheikh, Hazrat Hakim sahab, rahmatullah alayh's Sheikh, and also the Khalifa was the Tali, rahmatullah alayh. Once he gave a bayan in Bombay, and he says that when he comes to dunya, then you want everything first class. But when it comes to deen and sharia, then we happy with second and third class. As long as I'm doing it. As long as I'm doing it, and we get many, as it mentioned to a few days ago, that we get many ulama who say, at least, mashallah, you're doing it. But dunya, we want first class. So after Hazrat gave this bayan, one youngster came and he told Hazrat, Hazrat, what you said is wrong. He said, even in dunya too, you don't mind second class too. It's okay. His father was there. The boy was a young man. Father said, don't speak lies. When he wanted a wife, then he wanted, he didn't want B class, he wanted A class. Then he wanted furniture also, he didn't want second hand, he wanted brand new. So your Quran Sharif, why are you saying you're happy with second class and B class? So at least our Yasin Sharif and our last 10 surahs. If that is too much, then at least 4 surahs we learn properly. So salah to be correct, our sunnahs, we're reading all 4 rakats. Suratul Fatiha and surah. Farz namaz we only read in the first 2 rakats. Suratul Fatiha and surah. Second 2 rakats, only surah Fatiha. If you're behind the Imam Sahib, there's no tilawat at all for the Hanafis. You don't make any Quran Sharif recitation behind the Imam at all whatsoever for the Hanafis. First, second, third, fourth rakat, no Quran tilawat. We stand behind the Imam, he's a spokesman. So our salah is done. But our individual salah, at least there we get the 4 surahs correctly. And then the shortest ones, at least start somewhere. You see, neki, neki, neki ko kinchte hai. That a good deed pulls a good deed. And learn one surah, and see the amount of enjoyment you will get. I got the surah right. Then you'll go to the second one, then to the third one, then to the fourth one. Then you'll want to increase even more and even more. Now, how many years ago we went to Maktab? Listen to our wives, their Quran tilawat. How is their Quran tilawat? How are they pronouncing the words, the qaf? And it comes to Yasin, this is the second page. Don't know whether we mentioned this also. You find in Quran where there's a meme. In an ayat, meme meaning la is a sign to stop. They means compulsory stop. And how many of us continue? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ يَلْجَاءَهَا. He's supposed to stop the أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Compulsory stop. If you don't stop at the robot, you will get ticket. They will not have to stop. Yeah, no, it's okay. I learned it as some Kareemun. No, let's say, I want you to stop here. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Then he goes on in the same page over there, where you get Lam Alif in between the ayat, La. Lam is La Waqf. No stopping here. They will stop there. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ وَدَعَيْ قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. We stop there. Yes, you're not supposed to stop. You're supposed to carry on there. أَيْنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ. Hold, you've got to continue. There's no stopping there. Now, where we're supposed to stop, we're carrying on. Where we're supposed to carry on, we are stopping. And he said, Alhamdulillah, I know my deen is good. But the simple things, where we're supposed to shake it up. And how many years is carrying on? And then myself, you're complaining, things are not coming right. Things are not coming right in my life. Simple things, Allah Pak was, get your namaz correct, get your Quran tilawat correct. Now, ulama say, if your Quran is correct and your salah is correct, du'as being accepted is suspended upon your salah being correct. If your namaz is correct, then du'a will be accepted. How can you make a withdrawal if you didn't make a deposit? I didn't deposit. I'm living on overdraft. Ya Allah, just carry on giving. Ya Allah, give. Ya Allah, give. Like one wali of Allah says, for many years I made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, give me the skies and give me the earth. Can you give me everything, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, give me everything and protect me. Give me everything and protect me. See, when I got my deen right and I got the ma'rifat of Allah, then he said my dua changed then. When I understood Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and recognized Allah, then my dua changed. I was asking, Ya Allah, give me the skies and the earth and protect me. Now I dua, Ya Allah, I only want you and do what you want with me. Ya Allah, I only want you and do what you want with me. Now I became Allah's. Whatever Allah does, I'm happy with it now. So very importantly, the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, after every far salah, one dua is guaranteed acceptance. After every far salah, one dua is guaranteed acceptance. The dua doesn't mean the one immediately after the farz. That's a very short dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make short du'as then. Learn those du'as. Protect those du'as. There's barakat in those du'as. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Allahumma inna ala dhikrik. All these du'as come. Well, 3-4 du'as after far salah. Then the long du'a we can make after the sunnah and nafil. So all our wazifas, whatever we have to read after the nafil. Because the sunnah must be connected to the farz. To finish my farz, then I read my sunnah immediately. All the wadaif and du'a comes after the sunnah and the nafil. One dua guaranteed acceptance. But if the salah isn't correct, then how my dua is going to get accepted? So I have to read my salah, get my Quran tilawat, preserve it, protect it as Allah wants it. As Allah wants it, this I have to offer it to Allah, and definitely. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, perform salah as you see me performing salah. We haven't seen it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but we can still learn. There are ulama ikram, there are kitabs. Go and find out, check the senior ulama, how they're performing the salah, who we have confidence in. I think this imam or a chip in the kitab is reading namaz like this. You won't get the perfect, but at least you're aspiring to get the perfect salah. On that Allah will give plenty. We're not perfect, we're very weak, we have deficiencies, we're made up of mistakes and slips, deficiencies, but we're going to try our best. On that trying, beautiful example ulama give, the little child does scribbling or some colouring, etc., and comes running to his mother and father. See what I need. You know, it's only scribbling, but the mother and father get so happy, mashallah, mashallah, give the child a hug, a kiss, one sweet, one chocolate. And he'll put the scribbling of the child now in the fridge also for 1-2 weeks. You see, our amal is like that also. We didn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our eyes only saw filth and fitnah and haram. But Ya Allah, we're still trying your tawfiq. Ya Allah, you gave the ability, we try. When the time of ours, they're slipping and falling like a child, Allah will give a lot on that. Allah, that's why Imam Rasulullah Khan Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayh, the day you feel that your salah was good, that is your worst day. That is your worst day. Because then you won't progress. Come business, you say, today now we did enough. It doesn't happen. Tomorrow, I say, no, don't have to work. No. Then you're going to fall. Say, everybody's paying the rental, everybody's coming in, so we just relax now. You know, once you relax, the staff will take over. So when it comes to Sharia also, there's no time to relax. The nafs will take over. He said, now you, You punchy gala, mashallah, you reach at maqam now, alhamdulillah. Being asked, people are seeing nur on your face also. So all these things he put into your mind, into your heart. So he says, the day you felt things were good, yes, if you felt, yes, Allah will give that feeling. Thank Allah. Ya Allah, only you gave me the tawfiq and ability. I can't do it. I can't protect myself. I can't do my amal on my own. So at least it's few surahs we get right. And I always say to the brothers that it won't happen on its own. It won't happen on its own. We have to make it happen. It's not going to happen. We have this wishful thinking that one day it will happen. I'll get that hidayat. And then it'll just come naturally to me. Then I'll just pitch up in the Hifz class. And it'll just happen like that. Doesn't happen. You have to get there. Every day is a jihad. Every day is an effort. Every day is a mujahada and a qurbani. Every day. To get takbir-e-ula, saf-e-awwal, to get your sunnahs, to get your Quran. Every day is an effort. Till we come into the rahmat of Allah and Allah makes it easy. But we have to persevere. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam commanded two things. وَجَاهِدُوا ترجمة علماء making تفسير عثماني مجاهدا کرتے رہو. What it means? Doesn't translate as exert yourself. Continue exerting. You were and continue. Continue exerting yourself, fulfilling the haqq and the right of exertion. Who's commanded? Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. Then, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ O Nabi of Allah, ibadat karte raho. O my Nabi, continue making ibadat, continue. Not start now, you're already doing it. Allah is saying, continue it. Not that now you put your foot off the pedal to preserve these a'mal. Continue, till when? حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Yaqeen over here translated as death. Until death comes upon you. Till then you're going to carry on. You can't say now, then alhamdulillah, it'll come naturally. It won't happen. It won't happen naturally. It's a mujahada. Every salah I've got to be there. I've got to be there. I've got to plan beforehand. My wuzu, my taharat, get there on time. Make it takbir, ula, safi, awal. I've got to be there. It's every day, effort 5 times a day until Allah makes it easy. And Allah will make it easy. Then the mujahada home is so big. Then Hazrat said, I go to the next stage. Now I'll go earlier. Make effort to get more concentration in my salah. To lengthen my rakats of salah, lengthen my ruku, my sujood. I was reading 3, so many years, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. I increase it to 5. Make it to 7. At least 2 rakats in the day, make it a little bit extra. Ya O Mashaykh, say also, at least 1 sajda in the day, Allah give me tawfiq also. At least 1 sajda in the day, make it so long that you can feel Allah close to you and that heart begins to beat a bit fast. And your hair begins to stand a little bit. And you say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi. And you start feeling Allah is close to me. At least 1 sajda in the day, do it. At least 1, the Isha one, whichever one. At least at 1 sajda in the day, make that amount of effort to make it, lengthen it. We don't have, you know how weak we are. Very, very weak. So at least at 1 salah in the day. So we'll strive to preserve the Quran, strive to preserve our salah. These are the basic things that we will preserve. Allah says, I am al-hafiz. I will preserve you. I will protect you. Through the barakat of your salah, you protecting what I want, what is beloved to me, I will protect what is beloved to you. That is a deal from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So last week we had discussed that when it comes to Quran, how that time in India, the British, from 1861 to 1864, 400,000 copies of Quran they burnt. Today once again they're doing it. Whether it be in Sweden, whichever country is now, Quran, it's the whole term, they call Quran burners, they can become a fashion. Allah protect His Quran. Now we see they're burning Qurans in book form. There were incidents mentioned also in one village in India where they were burning the Qurans. So Sayyidina Ali was passing by, he saw it. He told the officer, you're wasting your time. He said, soon your Quran will be extinct. No one will be there to make amal upon it because you won't have Qurans. But there's an alim of deen, he says, you're wasting your time, let me show you something. He brought quite a few young boys from the Hifz class. He lined them up. And he says, see what you are burning? Listen to me. He made them start reading Quran. He said, what you're burning is in their heart. How are you going to burn their hearts? How are you going to burn their hearts? There's millions of them like this. Young boys. Allah has opened their hearts to preserve Quran. The entire kitab is in their hearts. By heart they read it from cover to cover. Now last week was it. If all the places in the world, subhanAllah, of all the places in the world, in Gaza, in Masjid al-Shafi'i, annually they have a Quran khatam session. More than 1,500 Huffaz from all ages, from young boys to elderly people, in the Mastorat, in a different section. 1,500 of them, they have annually like a jalsa, where they start from Fajr till Asr, one sitting, one Quran khatam. 1,500 of them. Where? In Gaza. Allah will preserve his Quran. Under that condition they're doing it. Don't know when the bomb is going to fall. Once a year they get together, and all of them, young boys, they sit with the ustaz or father or somebody, and they start. From Fajr time, right till Asr, they make one Quran khatam, one sitting. Then they all make dua after. Place like Gaza. We living in comfort. We living in such luxuries. Allah give us understanding. That's why we can't think we are super Muslims. We said we are going to Jannat first. We got our ticket already. No, we don't know. Who's a beloved to Allah who's making effort like this? Look at these children now. What effort of Quran in such an environment that is hostile to them. But the amount of effort of deen that is taking place in that small place, what they say, the most concentrated, what camp they call it? Huh? Largest open prison in the world, Gaza. Even the kuffar are crying with these people. What halat they're going through. Water contaminated. Electricity is cut sometimes. Sometimes there's no water. Or that water, they got sewage in it. But then too, they're learning Quran Sharif like this. Allah Ta'ala give us and our children tawfiq also to preserve Quran like this. So the Quran Sharif, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, promised to preserve the Quran Sharif. Therefore, the Quran Kareem remains protected as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has mentioned, despite the lengthy periods having passed since revelation. How many thousands of years? Or how many? More than 1,500 years Quran was revealed. But then the Quran has come down as it was revealed upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hafiz has protected the Quran Sharif, that is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And this is one of the clear and visible signs of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to man, showing the truthfulness of his promises that I will protect it. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah has taken a promise. Inna alayna jama'ahu wa Qur'ana. It is our responsibility to preserve jama'ahu, to gather the Qur'an together, to protect the Qur'an Sharif in the hearts of the kuffars. Allah has chosen those little hearts in different homes to preserve their part. Those little kids that are going to the Hibs class, Maktab, are within the divine plan of Allah. Allah's divine plan. This has advised parents that Allah has chosen your son to preserve the Quran, the Kalam, the speech of Allah. He cannot go to any other place which is not conducive to his Iman and Quran. Doesn't fit. The parents cannot emphasize on him anything more important than his Quran. Be it some football, some coaching, or whatever. It's like, by the way, we'll do it. Quran is, Allah has chosen my son for this. Today, you know, if my son has to be chosen ambassador of the country, oh, what? Leave everything else with the ambassador. What a position you've got. Within 2-3 years, they'll drop him, they'll remove him. You're the ambassador of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has chosen your heart for his speech. Not Mr. President's speech that you will write out or read out. President couldn't make it, so I gotta read it out. That to what honor the people will give you. Example is always given that even my son has to come now for a local football team. And his picture came on the last page of the local paper. That to the mother gets so proud, she'll cut it out, put it in the fridge. Moro poiroche. My son was chosen for the local. What are they gonna give him? What are they gonna do for him? But so much of pride in that. The Quran Sharif, my son is becoming a hafiz of Quran. His life is Quran now. Allah has chosen him. Not that I sent him. This is tawfiq from Allah. This is tawfiq from Allah which we have to appreciate. We don't appreciate this ni'mat of Allah that Allah has given me in my children. Allah will accept that. Allah will use it. Remember, the hadith Sharif says, Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha deen bi rajulil fajir. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, Allah will support, Allah will help his deen even with a sinner. Allah will use a sinner for his deen to promote his deen, to propagate the deen, to assist the deen, to help the poor, to put up projects. Allah will use a sinner also. There was no sunnah in his life. It's an open sin in his life. It's a photography, videoing. It's haram, absolutely haram. He's doing it. Allah will use him. Hadithin say he'll be used but not accepted. Allah will use his wealth for the masjid. Allah will use him for welfare work. Whatever it may be, he'll be used but not accepted. This is a fear. That, Ya Allah, are you only using me or this qabooliyat and acceptance also. This is a cry. Doesn't mean that I'm doing it, it's already accepted. It's a cry for acceptance. That's why Sahaba Ikram had this greatest fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts a'mal which are pure from those that are pure. In Allah tayyib, Allah is tayyib and pure. He only accepts those a'mal that are pure and from pure people. Those that have taqwa in them. So many people do not work. We hope and make dua Allah accepts it from them. Allah uses small excuses too. But from our side, we can't wait that Allah is Ghafoor or Rahim. That Allah will just accept it like that. No, I got to feel too. Doesn't mean I'm being used in so many different fronts for deen and for whatever work and works around there that already I'm accepted. No, there's more fear. And where we get this from Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one sitting, in one hadith, he gave 10 of them ticket to Jannat. Abu Bakr fi Jannah, Umar fi Jannah, Uthman fi Jannah, Ali fi Jannah, Sa'ad bin Zubair, all of them he gave the ticket to Jannah and they cried the most, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. These were so fearful. They were, as Ali radiallahu anhu, they say when you step on the musalla to perform salah, he should turn pale. The amount of fear he had, although he got ticket to Jannat already. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he was put on the Imamat Musalla, the way he used to cry. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he's passing away, he tells his son that, get my head off your lap and put it onto the sand. Oh my father, why? He looked towards the wall and he begins to cry. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen, ruling over more than one quarter of the earth. Looking at the wall and he's crying. And he says to himself, Umar, what will happen to you if Allah doesn't forgive you? What will happen to you if Allah doesn't forgive you? Where he's lying right now? Next to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What khidmat he didn't do for the deen of Allah. But so much of fear still. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit. I feel like I'm okay. I'm doing so much of effort. I'm doing so much of work. So much of welfare work, etc. The fear, yeah, Allah, I accept it. Shouldn't be I go on the day of Qiyamah, there's nothing there. Allah preserve our amal and give us tawfiq. We should understand. Our children also, Allah Ta'ala has accepted them for a certain thing. We push him in that direction. We don't have fear of poverty. Don't have fear of poverty. Recently somebody was telling me they went for a da'wah to an ad somewhere. So one brother is telling the other brother. There's some ulama over there. He said, check out the ulama chawing. He said, make your son an alim then. Just last week you were crying and saying what he's going to do in his future. So make him an alim. So a dark period of time passed over the Muslims, full of trials and tribulations, in which there existed an abundance of innovators and people who followed their base desires. This came also in the time of the Tabi'in and Tabu Tabi'in. Many innovations came in deen, many fabricated ahadith from the Shi'as, etc. And different groups of people, the Mu'tazilas, Khawarij, Rawafis, and many different groups. They had different ideologies. Many innovations came into Sharia and deen at that time in the beginning. They added different things to Islam and attributed many false statements to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why we should be very, very careful. When it comes to these messages that we send on the WhatsApp every time, this hadith sounds very nice, we send it to the whole family. But you didn't research it, you didn't ask ulama ikram, is it correct? And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned also, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, the person who attributes falsely to me any narration or hadith, falsely, then he should prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam. Straightforward. To the extent Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to be so frequent in the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his mother and himself, that people from outside Medina Munawwara, that used to come to Medina Munawwara, should think that Abdullah bin Mas'ud is part of the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned when he used to quote a hadith, he would never say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He would just quote it out of fear that I might be saying it but is not completely correct. But I'm saying it with intent, intentionally. So it could be that I'm attributing a false statement to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, therefore he would never say. And the narrator, his student says, one day as he was teaching a hadith, and it just came on his tongue. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم He came unto his young Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, then he realized what he said. He says his veins begin to pop out. His eyes became bloodshot and the tears began to flow. His body began to shudder. Then he quoted the hadith with that amount of fear. And after he finished the hadith, he mentioned, "Oh, kama qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said more or less like this. So careful he was. So careful. This is a sahabi who heard it directly. But they were so careful in narrating the hadith. Today we should be so careful now we pass on any message to any group or any family members. Whether it be a hadith checked properly, there's a reference there from authorized ulama is coming, from a proper kitab is coming. Otherwise many times you'll find. And now Ramadan will come soon and that message will go with the person who gives others the glad tidings of the sighting of the moon of Ramadan. Allah will free him from the fire of Jahannam. All these messages will come out. Then they change it. The person who sees the moon of some other month. So somehow this thing goes around. If every month now you'll get Jannat if you give the sighting of the moon, khabar and message to everybody. And people listen to it. Before it used to be chain letters. Now there's chain messages. It just goes through. Send it to so many people, you get some good luck. You get some good luck. But we know we're still waiting for the good luck. It hasn't come as yet. We send it to so many people. So many false things, scams too, we send it through. We'll be so careful, especially when it comes to deen, when it comes to ahadith. So this we should be very careful. So all these things came in. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was born in 80 Hijri, 80 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can say 70 years after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa. His name was Nu'man bin Thabit, rahimahullah ta'ala. His forefathers were fire worshippers, Zoroastrians. They were Persians. Allah Ta'ala accepted him. And one hadith is mentioned also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, if there had to be ilm and knowledge of the star of Thuriyya. Thuriyya is a very distant star in the galaxy. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if there had to be knowledge of the star of Thuriyya, then a man from his nation, Salman Farsi was sitting there, Persian. So he tapped his thigh. He said, a man from his people will go and get it. And who came from his nation or clan was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Allah blessed him with knowledge like that also. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's time, born in 80 Hijri, amongst his most famous students was Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. His name was Yaqub. They say just this one student of his, he had 40 ulama at the time, he had a panel of ulama with him in his class. So any masla came, any fatwa came, he would throw it at them. Right, you all check it up. And then he would come sit in the class. What do you think? Each one was a master on different aspect of Sharia and the different science. One of them was a master in tafsir, some in hadith, some in the language, linguistics, some in syntax, or they have morphology, nahu and sarf, and different subjects of Quran Sharif. For this ulama say, to make tafsir of Quran minimum, to qualify, you have to be a master of 15 different sciences of Quran only. You can't just now open the Quran and think and say, you know, I think it's like this. I think you can't. Even if you're right also, Hadith Sharif says you're still going to be punished because you're not qualified. You're not qualified to do it. Staff now is not qualified to give the big discount, but he also give the big discount. Although he's right, he said, but you can't give the discount. That he has come to me, you can give 20%, I'll give the 40%. He said, no, I know the code, so I know how to do it. But you're not qualified. You still did the wrong thing. So here also, although the tafsir may be right, but then too is wrong. He's not qualified to do it. So amongst his students was Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. Because at that time already, there were so many fabricated ahadith. From that time, people were fabricating. Most of the Shias that time, were Ali radiallahu anhu and Ahl al-Bayt and many, many things. We'll find that. That's why you should be so careful when you go to the internet nowadays. You just put one Islamic thing, most of it you will find maybe on the second or third website already, is already a Shia website. They got the Sistani, big Shia. Many other ones will come, islamonline.org, I think, is it. It's another Shia website. Now you scroll through, you say, hey, they got beautiful teachings over here. Nice ahadith they got, but you don't know what's behind it. How many fabrications they have. That's why we should be so careful where we take our deen from. We just can't take it from anywhere. So just to save themselves when they're discussing the masail, to save themselves from any fabrications, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi knew by, from memory 40,000 fabricated ahadith. 40,000. Why? So we don't get caught. So you can imagine how many more authentic ones he knew. Now to take out the masla from Quran. How to extract the masail. So we don't get caught. So he was a master in hadith. Others are masters in tafsir and other sciences of Quran Sharif. Like this, Allah Ta'ala preserved the Shariat. That's how it came down. In the kitab right now, when it comes to ahadith only, we have a science called Asma'ur Rijal, where our ulama have documented the lives of more than half a million narrators of hadith. Where they were born, when they were born, the city, the town, the village, who were their parents, who were their asatiza, how many asatiza they had, what were their names, what were their credentials, who they studied by, who were their students, right? How many years he took to study, what kitabs he studied, how long he studied for, then who he taught, the entire life of the narrator they have there, when he passed away, how he passed away, in the beginning of his life, how was his memory? At the end of his life, was he just as strong, or he began to get confused in his memory? All this got preserved, more than 500,000 narrators. That's why our deen is so solid. You can't just now change the deen. Allah has preserved. When Allah has preserved the Quran, it includes also Hadith Sharif. Hadith also preserved. That's why there's so many sciences now preserve the Hadith Sharif. Without the Hadith, you can't understand Quran. Quran only speaks about perform salah. But you won't find in Quran Zuhr Namaz mentioned over there, or Asr Salah mentioned over there, or how many rakats mentioned over there, or the sunnats and the wajibat of wudu not mentioned in Quran. So you got to know the Hadith Sharif. So Hadith also is preserved. Now if I just, these few things we explain, now you can understand Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to all these periods of time, Allah has protected the Quran and Hadith and our deen for it to come to us. And now is our turn, and our children's turn, to protect the Quran, to protect the ulum and the knowledge that they are getting in the Darul Ulooms. Despite this, these innovations, none was able to make any alteration to the Quran and Kareem. So much so that not even one letter could be altered. Even the Shias have their own Quran. The Shias have their own Quran. We saw the Quran also. There was Allama Khalid Mahmood, rahmatullah alayhi, that came to our Darul Uloom. 10 days course he did with us. And he brought all the kitabs and came. So he brought the Quran Sharif too. Amazing. 11th para, there's an ayat. We all know the ayat of most of us. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ, that indeed a Rasul, a messenger came to you from yourselves. So they put a little sign there on Rasul, like a correction sign, and in the margin, they got their correction. It's supposed to be لَقَدْ جَاءَ عَلِيٌّ, not Rasulun. So that extent Allah Ta'ala preserved the original text. That they didn't change. They put like a correction mark there. Look in the margin, you find this is our correct word. And few other words would they change. Fatima is there also, and other things. Even the azan too, they changed. Shadu anna aliyan waliyullah. They say, pay testimony that Ali is a friend of Allah. Said, if anna Muhammad Rasulullah, they put aliyan waliyullah. So they changed that also. But Quran they couldn't change. That Allah has preserved. So even when they read the Quran too, internationally, they have to read correct like us. Taqiyya. Where they cover up now their belief. The more they can cover up, the more they can lie to you, the more reward for them. So Allah Ta'ala has preserved the Quran completely to the last dot. The Quran Kareem remain in its original condition and continues to be so. The verses of the Quran Sharif remain today as they were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The libraries of the world cannot bring forward any book to match the Quran Kareem, which was revealed 1400 years ago and still possesses the exact same words, the letters and the different diacritical points. Here some years ago they did some research also, where they brought different copies of the Bible from different corners of the world, printed Bibles. Right? And they put it all together and say, let's reference them and see if all are the same. And they found discrepancies upon discrepancies. That one was different, this one is different. The wording there is different, the wording here is different. And they brought plenty copies of Quran Sharif. Every ayat is same. No change. This only creator can do this. No creation. Only the creator can do this and no creation. And if there has to be a mistake, sometimes you get printing error. And then to have people pick it up. It's a mistake in this edition of the Quran Sharif, take it off the shelves. It will be picked up somewhere or the other. Allah has protected the Quran Sharif like this. If Allah has protected the Quran like this, and it is His promise, so that child who gives his life to Quran, Allah will protect him. Allah will protect him. You've given your heart to protect the Quran of Allah. Allah promised, I will protect my Quran through this young boy. And the parents still got doubt whether Allah will protect my son. What's going to happen to him? We're doubting the one that is giving you. As I mentioned many a times, imagine your wife doubts you whether you're going to pay the bills. For the last 20 years I'm doing it. It comes last week of the month. Now she's all parishan. She's all down and out. What's wrong? I don't know. You're going to pay the bills. What's wrong with you? Every month I'm doing it. You show this month you're going to pay. That's how we're doing to Allah. Allah is still giving, but he's still doubting me. He's still doubting me. He's not sure whether I'm going to give him. He's still going to come for the namaz, but I'm still giving him on four namazes, on three namazes. We still got the doubt in us. Insan doubts us. I will tell him, I'm solid. What do you tell him? I'm solid. Don't worry. You'll get your money. Trust me. I've been doing it for years now. Yes, okay, right. But Allah is saying solid. I want to give you. Just do what I want from you. Preserve it. Allah give us understanding, inshallah. We'll just read a few lines in this kitab. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In regards to control of anger. The best of mankind is the one who treats their wives well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْإِيمَانِ أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The most perfect amongst the believers, the mu'mineen in iman, are those with the best character. The most perfect amongst the believers in iman, whose iman is a perfect one, are those with the best character. Your individual amal is between you and Allah. The heaviest amal on the day of Qiyam on the scales of man will be good character. That will be the heaviest one. You know how heavy it is to show good character sometimes. That's why it's the heaviest amal. Salah, very nice. Individual ibadah, very nice. Close the Quran, take out, put this be away, and you see his character is changed. But what happened to him now? Like that in the masjid, he's a buzruk, waliya of Allah. But he goes into the workplace, he goes into the house. Then he's a different person. So best character. And the best amongst you are those whose character with their wives is the best. That's a test. Hazrat says, this is the acid test of your character now. Everybody else will praise you. She'll drop you. Say, only twice she'll praise you in your life. Before nikah, and after you in the qabr. What a man he was. And before that, itlu aharo poiro. What a husband you get. And after you close your eyes, you didn't trouble me one day. You didn't trouble me. Hazrat gives a whole example of these things over here. But there's an acid test of iman when it comes to a wife, to keep it till your last breath. Hold your tongue, carry on smiling. We learn from this that the highest standard of good character is good treatment to the wife. Remember, this is a two-way. Not only now the husband must be good, but the wife also. There's many, many ahadith, a very severe warning, heavy ahadith. If I had to command anyone to make sajda to anyone besides Allah, I would have instructed the wives to prostrate to their husbands, to put their head down to the husband, showing that she should have humility, she should humble herself. When? Not when she's happy. When things are adverse now. Now be humble. And the husband also makes sabr. So at that time, now to be humble before the husband. Now to make his khidmat. Hadith Sharif says, Allah becomes happy with that wife. When husband looks at her, she makes him happy. When he obeys her, she listens to him. Tells her the right thing. And how he's telling her also is important. Many a time we see this. He speaks to her and she obeys. So the husband goes home. You see what Allah said? You must listen. Hey, ma, listen. You don't listen. It doesn't mean now you can talk to her anyhow. He too talks nicely to her. That's why she wants to listen. Then he goes and commands now. And he demands. But he speaks in a nice manner also. And she also understands that I got to be, this is good to him. Hazrat says very beautifully. He tells the Maswarat. He says, if you treat your husband like a king at home, then he will treat you like the queen. But if you treat him like the garden boy, he will treat you like the domestic. That's how it goes. They know that. So she treats him also like that, enters the house, salam alaikum, and he reads his surah al-ikhlas, durood sharif, smiles at her, meets her nicely. There's some affection between them, muhabbat between them, overlooks everything. You have to overlook a lot of things. Rather than say that some people, they're so finicky. Now she forgot to put the cap on the toothpaste. Mother never taught her. Now, did we have to say that? You left your clothes on the floor, your mother never taught you. Now, the whole thing starts. Your family and your family and your family. Say, was there any need to say it? Go and close it up. What's so difficult in closing? The difficulty now is in closing your mouth. Easy to close the cap. But no, I won't close the cap, I'll open my mouth. Now, where's the character? So, this is akhlaq. Alama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, in his tafsir, Ruhul Ma'ani, mentions a riwayat over there under the ayat, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. He mentions the tafsir of this ayat in the fifth para. Allah Ta'ala has, insan has been made very weak. Insan has been made very weak. And he gives mixed tafsir of this. Because before this, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the women and wives, etc. So Allah Ta'ala intends to make things easy for you, light for you. And insan has been made weak. So does it mean he has a weakness for women? When he comes to his nafs and his hawa, when he comes to his passions and desires, he's very weak. Allah has made him weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Then he brings a riwayat over there. When he comes to his women, لَا خَيْرَ فِي النِّسَاءِ وَلَا صَبَرَ عَنْهُنَّ. There is no goodness in women. When he comes to his deen, he'll just slip with them. وَلَا صَبَرَ عَنْهُنَّ. What he says, I can't live with her and I can't live without her. It's a catch situation. Remember, nobody caught you in it, you put yourself into it. So he says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. There's no goodness in women. At the same time, وَلَا صَبَرَ عَنْهُنَّ. But he has no patience, he cannot practice patience away from them, he needs them too. Then he would say that يَغْلِبْنَا كَرِيمًا وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمٌ. He said that they overpower a person of high and noble character. They rule him, husband. And only a person who is despicable will rule over women. Then he says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said more or less, he brings the riwayat there. He said, وَلَكِنْ أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ كَرِيمًا مَغْلُوبًا وَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَئِيمًا غَالِبًا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that I prefer that I be مغلوبًا, controlled by my wives. That they control me, but كَرِيمًا, I have noble character. That I have iron fist. The second part he said, I do not prefer that I rule over them and I have despicable character. There's a taint of my akhlaq as a Nabi. So they can rule, they call the shots within Shariat. They call the shots, do this, do that, sort things out, no problem. Yes, we'll listen, we'll agree, when it's right, when it's wrong, then we'll stop it. But my character is noble, I won't drop now to that way as a shouting, swearing, becoming vulgar with her. I can listen, with noble character, if it's wrong, not now, later on, explain, whichever way it may be. But now to be ghaliban, have an iron fist, no sabr, no patience, she's afraid of you, say you are despicable. We have no character whatsoever. We can be good with everybody outside. But my own wife is afraid of me. My own wife, as I said, unfortunately, many men like that. Many men like that, when they go out of the house, they're like sheep. And all the smiles and all the good character and all the sweet talk is all finished off there in the office with the secretary. He gives all the smiles. Wife will phone also, he says, I'm in a meeting right now. He be stern with her and he gives a smile to the secretary, bring a cup of tea, please. She's phoning now to give you the order to bring some food home, but it was onions for your food. You so fussy. He said, I'm busy now. So everywhere else he finishes, smiles and sweetness. Comes home, can't talk sweetly. I'm tired, I had a long day. But doing what? Doing the haram things, look at haram things. He says, you finished off all the good akhlaq over there where nobody deserved it. And those that deserve the good akhlaq, they're getting the worst of you. The weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah will be good akhlaq. Those husbands who are merciful are overpowered by their wives. While those who are hard-hearted, who have bad character, overpower their wives. This means they start speaking sharply. They become playful towards the husband and display courtesy to him. But they do maintain and fulfill their rights, meaning the wives. They're good to the husband, but he can't be good to them. He just brushes them away. Allah Ta'ala give us the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that will balance our lives within the home and outside the home, inshallah. This was to take bath. Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah. continue the khutbah, then you repeat the words after me, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما وقال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المرء مع من أحب أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, from innovations, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sin of the love of dunya, and being unmindful of the akhirat, and from the sin of following my whims and desires, and being unmindful of the commands of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and from the sin of pride. O Allah, I promise to the best of my ability to perform five times salah with jama'ah in the masjid according to sunnah, to fast during the month of Ramadan, if zakat becomes fard, to discharge the same, if hajj becomes compulsory, to perform hajj. O Allah, I enter into the silsila of the chistiyah, the Naqshbandiyya, the Qadiriyya, and the Suharwardiyya. O Allah, to the barakat of all the buzruks of all four silsilas, accept my tawbah and my bi'at as long as I live. Grant me an Islamic imani life just before death. Grant me sincere tawbah. Grant me death on perfect iman and kalima shahadat, wa afiyat, salamat, and izzat. Gather me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah and forever thereafter in Jannah with all the righteous and the pious. Ameen. May Allah that I accept it, inshaAllah. Jee, mashallah, brother Idris, mashallah. Last time he was in the program there in Azadwar, Azad requested him to give his karguzari. Few minutes, we'll give you a karguzari, inshallah. Inspire the brothers, inshallah. But Idris has a long journey of life. I know it's quite late, but inshallah, there's an opportunity. We'll hear his little karguzari, and Allah Ta'ala's kindness to him and to all of us, inshallah. You can tell the brothers where you're from.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Idris Williams from Ustaba. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib's great favor upon me to speak. Firstly, I'm a revered Muslim. Initially, about 20 years back, I accepted Islam. And then after about 8 to 9 years, I went murtad for about 5 or 6 years. And what happened was my life just wasn't coming right. So one day I just was sitting at work, so I just decided to search up our husband Abdul Hamid Sam, just to check up and see, you know, on our elders. and his bayans came up and I started listening. And alhamdulillah, that gave me the courage to slowly, that iman started coming back. And alhamdulillah, now it's 1 year now that I've accepted kalima again. Alhamdulillah, and it's been a lovely journey. Jazakallah to Azim Tisab for guiding us and showing us the way. May Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah, all of us. Ameen. Ameen. Jazakallah. Ameen.
Allah will keep all strong, inshallah, keep us with iman to meet, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 السلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله O Kareem Rahim Allah, Ya Allah, forgive us all our sins, O Mahila, the sins of the past, O Mahila, the sins of the present, O Mahila. Ya Allah, whatever sins we are involved in, O my Kareem Rahim Allah, give us hearts of lions, O Mahila, to fight our nafs and shaitan, O Mahila, to become yours, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Oh my Allah, every day we turn to these fitnas, oh my Allah, this fitna and basad, this temptation to take us away from you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, your qudrat, your power is mutlaq, oh my Allah, it has no limits, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, with your pull, with your qudrat, ya Allah, pull us towards you, oh my Allah. Save us from sins, oh my Allah. Save us from our nafs and shaitan, oh my Allah. Make salah easy for us, oh my Allah. Make it easy for our families and our children, oh my Allah. Make our children musallis of the masjid, oh my Allah, progenies to qiyamat. Oh my Allah, keep us in the masjid, oh my Allah. Give us the himmat and the strength, oh my Allah, to wake up in the morning, oh my Allah, to make it musallah wa takbir wa safi awal in all our salahs, ya Allah, in a manner that is most pleasing to you, oh my Allah. Correct our Quran tilawat, correct our iman, our amal, our aqaid and our beliefs, ya Allah, our social interaction with people, ya Allah, our financial dealings, oh my Kareem Rahim Allah. Save us from haram, save us from your displeasure, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us your true lovers, oh my Allah. Give us your ishq and your love, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, that our hearts beat with your muhabbat and your love, oh my Allah. That we never forget you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, but you haven't forgotten us even one second, one split second, oh my Allah. You fed us every day, you clothed us, oh my Allah. You've given us shelter, oh my Allah. You've given us water and food, oh my Allah. You've given us the best of dunya, O Kareem Rahim Allah. You made us amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any application, supplication, oh my Allah. Keep us with afiyat, ya Allah. Keep our parents with afiyat, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Keep us in your mercies, O my Allah. Ya Allah, blow the winds of hidayat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, protect the Muslims around the world, wherever they may be, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, give the governments hidayat, O my Allah. Give nations hidayat, give countries hidayat, Ya Allah. Give continents hidayat, O my Allah. Let your name prevail in every corner of the world, O my Allah. Let the azan, Ya Allah, sound in every nook and corner of the globe, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Let the entire world, Ya Allah, get to know who our Allah is, O my Allah. Give us your ma'rifat and accept us with the khidmat of deen, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin. There's some kitabs that are at the back of the masjid. Where's the kitab? The kitabs are there. There's a kitab that Muni Musa Qadri Sahib from Darul Mazawil sent for the brothers. The same kitab we read in the majlis, the beautiful names of Allah. They reprinted those kitabs, so brothers can take a copy as they leave, inshallah. Or to take for anybody else in the family, they can take, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept and give us so free to read the kitab and benefit, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Subhanakallah.